The book of Psalms, please. Chapter 18. Psalm 18. Page 606 in your Schofield Reference Bible. And beginning with verse 30, we'll read verse through verse 35. And we'll read the verses responsively. The 33rd verse being the text verse. Psalm 18. Verses 30 through 35, page 606. Then let's stand, as we always do, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this Sunday evening service. We do not realize yet just what is in store for us, not just this evening, but that which will have far-reaching effects if we but listen, that which will be life-changing if we but give our attention, that which will make us better for thy service, for the purpose for which you made us, if we but focus on that which you've given the man of God to give to us. Help us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our text tonight says simply this: He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Now, the hinds' feet were the feet of some people, the hinds' feet were the feet of young deers. To others, they were the feet of the female deer. To say the least, we know that they were young deers. And when the psalmist said, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, he had a great truth to teach us. Before I speak tonight, I want to make it very plain that everybody's supposed to listen to every word that's said. Everybody in the balconies and the mezzanines, those watching on the television screens, and those in the, wherever you are, the fact that you sit in the hallway does not give you a license to talk. And sometimes it's hard for the folks in the back of the auditorium to hear because misbehaving of folks in the hallways. Now, the hallway is no place to you get to where you can just go and talk during a service. You're supposed to sit there and listen and look. And we have a message tonight from the Word of God that is one that God intends for us to have. If every jot and every tittle is important in the Word of God, certainly every word and every line in the Bible is important. Three times in the Bible you find a statement like this. Something like this: He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Now, if it's mentioned three times in the Bible, it is vitally important. For God never repeats something unless it's worth repeating. There are no mistakes in the Bible. There are no uh-ohs in the Bible. There are no I'll declares in the Bible. I like what somebody said. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? And I love that statement. It's not mine, but it says, I love it. It ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God did not, after the Bible was written for us, God did not say, well, I'll declare, I made that same statement three times. No, it's always been the Word of God, and so it's on purpose. And so when God thrice puts the same type of statement in the Bible, it is there for our admonition. In fact, it's there three times, means it's there for our careful attention. What does God mean when He said, or when He leads His man to say, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet? We're going to tell you what it means tonight, and I expect you, of course, to focus your attention this way, no talking, everyone listening, everyone looking. For you new students, we don't take notes and get our sermons in church. We listen. This is not a classroom, it's a sermon, and I want you to listen, because I'm not here to instruct you, I'm here to change you. And that's what I want God to do to us tonight. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, the preaching of thy word tonight, and bless thy simple servant as he brings this great truth. I sometimes feel, dear Lord, like I'm wrapping something mighty shoddy in something so wonderful, or I'm wrapping something so wonderful in something mighty shoddy, to associate a frail creature such as this preacher with the great truths that you give in your Bible. But all you have is human beings to preach the Bible. As old Dr. John Rice used to say, God has no sticks but crooked sticks, and so he uses what he can find. And I pray tonight that you'd help this crooked stick to be used of thee to bring a clear and straightforward truth from thy word. Now give me the attention of all the people, dear God, and speak to their hearts through me. In Jesus' name, amen. You go to a mountainous area, and you see the horses in the mountainous area. You will notice something about the climbing horses. The climbing horses always have feet like a young deer or like a deer. They trace. The word is trace. Now, what does that mean? It means that the climbing horses have hind feet that fall exactly into the tracks of the front feet. They call that tracing. Now, some horses don't do that. Some horses, their feet, the hind feet, make a track or tracks different from the front feet. But when the hind feet fall in the tracks of the front feet, they call that tracing. And those are the horses that are the climbing horses. They climb to the high places. Now the horse whose feet, back feet, do not trace, don't climb to the high places. They're okay for the valley, and they're okay for the level land, but they're not good for the climbing to the high places. It's like a car. Did you ever drive down the street? And you have, I'm sure. And you've seen a car that's going along like a dog. It's moving like that. It's one of the most frustrating things in the world. And the back end is over to the right or the left of the front end. And it looks like a dog trotting down the street. Now, you ask any mechanic, cars like that will drive on level land. But they'll not take you through the high, rough places. Why? Okay. We have a little driveway at the parsonage that you drive in, and it forms sort of a little curve there, almost semicircle. Now, getting in the thing is fine, but backing out in the wintertime when there's snow on the driveway is, well, if you can lose your salvation, that would cause it. Now, the trouble is, you cannot, to save your life, keep the wheels. See, when you back out, I'll give you something real smart here. When you back out, the back wheels become the front wheels. Don't forget that, folks. You learned it here first now. You heard it here first. And so, backing out, the back wheels back out. But the hardest thing in the world is to keep those front wheels when you're going backwards in the tracks of that the back wheels make. Now, that's the way we get stuck, and I've been stuck time and time and time again coming out of the drive because the wheels that come last don't stay in the tracks of the wheels that come first. In other words, if you go high, you must follow through with what you begin. If you go high, the people that go to the high places, that's what God is saying here. He's saying, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He's saying that when the front feet hit, the back feet go right in the tracks, and they trace the front feet. I have driven many a time. Of course, some of you folks that don't know what dirt roads are like, you missed an awful lot. But brother, you've never in your life driven that you drive down a dirt road out in the country when it's raining. And you get out of the tracks. And you old settlers know what I'm talking about. Boy, I don't care how many you do. There's no way. You're just there and it dries up. That's all there is to it. You're stuck. Now listen, here's what happens. You get out of the rut. The most discouraging thing of all is meeting a car on one of those dirt country roads of years ago. First church I pastored was out in the country, 3 miles out in the country. We had preaching every Sunday. It didn't rain. And many a time I've gotten out there on that road. It rained while I was on the road, the 3 mile strip. And brother, if your back wheels don't stay and don't follow the track made by the front wheels, you are in trouble. And so if you get out, you try to back up as best you can and then get your wheels back in line and get back in the rut. Now, that's what God is saying here. God is saying that if you're going to go high, you got to follow up what you start, and you got in the back, you got to keep up with what's in the front. Now, you don't have to do that. You stay down low. You don't have to do that. You stay in the valley. But if you're going to get to the top and you're going to go on to the high places, you got to trace. You've got to put your back feet where the front feet were, and in the tracks made by the front feet, you put your back feet. And God is saying here that nobody's going to go high for God unless he follows up and follows through with what he begins. I'm not sure where I am tonight. Well, I know I'm here because I'm not all there. But I'm not sure where I am on the ascending, in the ascension for the growth and grace of the Christian life. But wherever I am and whatever heights I have risen, whether they be high or low, and I know not where, I've never checked to find out where I am, but wherever I am, the degree of ascension and growth in the work of God has been caused because I got here by having hinds feet. And I'm talking to folks tonight who have hinds feet, and that's why you're growing in grace. And that's why you're going upward. The song I quote more than any other song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, the higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Now, if you want to stay at the bottom, you just start something and don't follow up on it. You just start something and don't follow through. But I'll guarantee you, if you're going to rise to the top, you're going to have to follow through with what you start. Then God, in the psalmist here, said, he has given me feet like hinds feet. He's let me have a follow-up tenacity. I don't start something and quit it. I don't start something and turn back. I don't start something and give up. I don't start something and wash out. I start something and I finish something. And when I put my front feet down, my back feet follow. I don't drag my feet. That's where the statement came from. I don't drag my feet. I start something, and the back feet follow right in where the tracks, the front feet were. And the front feet go forward again. And the back feet follow right where the front feet were. And the front feet go forward again. And the back feet follow. The back feet trace the front feet. And that means I can go higher and higher and higher and higher. But if my back feet do not follow my front feet and get in the same tracks, and they're not synchronized with my front feet, I will not go high. I will not ascend. I will stay down at the bottom where everybody else is. I'll not rise above the normal. I'll not rise above the usual. I'll not rise above the average. I'll not rise above the median. I'll not do it. But if you, in case you want to mount to something, I don't care who you are or what field you're in or what area you pursue. I don't care who you are. If you're going to rise to the top and climb to the heights, you will do so by tracing. You will follow through
with what you start. Everything I've ever started, I've wanted to quit. Just like everybody else has. Look, there's no difference in us, folks. I get so sick and tired of people saying, well, one fellow said not long ago, Brother House, I got in this trouble. I'm just oversexed. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Somebody said, Brother House, a fine young fellow said to me, I'm just one of those that can't hear the alarm clock. Well, bless God, I am too, and that's why I got three of them. You come to my room where I sleep at night in a motel room. I've got a watch here that has an alarm on it. I've got a little alarm clock that Cindy and Jack gave me. Has their picture on one side, and there's a little battery. Lydia goes, and then I got a wind-up one that's right beside that. And, brother, every night when I go to bed in the hotel room, right beside my bed, I got that one, and I put that one on something metal so it'll sound louder. And I put the one Cindy and Jack gave me on the cigarette tray because that'll make it sound a little louder. Then I got the wind-up one, and I'm a little tired. Well, some one of those has a hard time getting up. But everybody has a hard time getting up. Get up, lazy bones. Get up. I get a little tired of. We're all the same. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. You're not oversexed. You're not just naturally lazy. Well, I'm just one of those has to sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, I am too, but I don't sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning. And you're no different from me. I'm simply saying that the difference in us is this. Some of us have decided, when we decide, to follow through on what we decide. Now, whatever degree you rise, it'll be because you trace. Your back feet trace your front feet. And you follow up what you start. And you keep on climbing. But you won't climb unless you trace, because the deer or the horse that does not trace will not climb to great heights. He's okay for plowing. He's okay for pulling in the valley. He's okay for level places. But he won't do for climbing because he doesn't trace. And the psalmist said, I'm rising higher and higher and higher. And the reason I'm rising higher and higher and higher is that God has made my feet like hinds' feet. He has given me the feet of a deer, of a young deer, that placed themselves exactly where the front feet were placed, and I follow through. Now, I said a while ago, everything I've ever started, I wanted to quit. One day on a 26-mile hike, when I was in the infantry, 26 miles, full field pack on our back. As I say so often, I couldn't walk 26 blocks now. I got a full field pack on my front, but I had a full field pack on my back. 26 miles. We walked 13 of those miles. Hot Texas sun down in Fort Hood, Texas. You'd call it South Camp Hood, Texas. 105 degrees. Tired and feet sore. And while we're taking a little 10-minute break, I drank the last bit of the water in my canteen. All gone. 13 more miles to go and all the water gone. A Jeep rolled up. And a fella got out, an officer got out and said, fellas, we're looking for volunteers. And I said to the buddy beside me, I'm going to volunteer. He said, what's it for? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to volunteer. It could not be as bad as this, the infantry. And so the lieutenant got up and he said, how many of you fellas want to volunteer? And I said, I would. And then he said, okay, this is what it's for. It's for the paratroopers. It was worse than the infantry. You know, immediately, my hind feet said, I ain't going. But my front feet had already said, I'm going to join the paratroopers. And my back feet came up and followed, and I followed through with what I decided to do. Listen, folks, I'll say this after a while. But once you have prayed, and once you have sought the will of God, and once you have earnestly tried to find what God wants you to do, then do it. Don't think about it again. Do it. You've already done it. You spent time deciding. Then do it. And get your hind feet to catch up with your front feet, and put your hind feet in the same place your front feet were, and follow through. That's the way you climb. First day I got in the paratroopers. first day of training, we trained several weeks, but first day of training, we had to run a mile in the morning, and the second day 2 miles, the third day 3 miles, the fourth day 4 miles, fifth day 5 miles, sixth day 6 miles, seventh day 7 miles, eighth day 8 miles, ninth day 9 miles, tenth day 10 miles without a break. We didn't stop either. I mean, and with combat boots on and going up and down hills on a highway and counting cadence. Up, two, three, four, up, two, three, four, up, two, three, four. 10 miles. First day, 1 mile. That was the hardest. I had 103 fever that morning. Sick as could be. Had the flu. But I wanted to be a paratrooper, brother. I'd already obligated myself. And I got out on the first mile run that morning. And I was sick. And I got within about, a couple hundred yards of the finish line, and I started vomiting. I mean, I just threw everything up I had in my stomach. And walking in my vomit, running in my vomit, and I kept on going. Why? Because I started, that's why. I'm not going to be the kind of fellow that drags my feet. Not going to do it. Brother, if I decide to do something, I'm going to follow up. You yellow-bellied quitters, quit if you want to, but not me. You turning back cowards, turn back if you want to, but not me. I'm not built that way. I'm not made that way. And if you're made that way, you'll never climb the top. You'll never rise above the average. You'll always be at the bottom. You'll never ascend to great heights. But you decide, I'm going to follow through with what I start. So, finally I passed out. About 100 feet, not yards, is a good deal. Distance, and I passed out, fell face down in my own vomit. And I was awakened by a sergeant who kicked me in the ribs, and he said to me, "Soldier, when we quit running in this crowd, this outfit, we crawl." And I began to crawl. And I saw the finish line about as far as near that back wall. And I had 103 fever, and I was vomiting all the way. And I crawled in my own vomit until I got to the finish line. You say why? I'll tell you why, brother. My front feet had started something and my hind feet were going to keep up. I'd started something. I was not going to turn back. I was going to follow through. I remember when I started to preach. Brother, when God called me to preach, I was the introvert of introverts. I weighed 92 pounds, dripping wet and full of bananas. I was the little quiet introvert of the class. Never went with the girls because I couldn't reach anybody but the beginners and primaries. And their parents were very strict about their dating habits. And I was the little runt. And I walked down the aisle and nobody in the church, most of the folks in the church had never heard me say much. If anything, never heard me speak. Most of them never heard me say hello. They called me at 17, little Jackie boy. On my 17th birthday, I weighed 92 pounds. And I walked down the aisle and I said, "Brother Sizemore, God's called me to preach." And you know, when I said that, all of a sudden, he said, "Are you sure?" And all of a sudden, I said, "What in the world did I just say? I just told a preacher God's called me to preach." And that rascal stood up and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, little Jackie Boy Hiles says he's called to preach." And I broke out with a cold sweat and I said, "Did I say that? I don't believe it. I can't do it. I can't be a preacher, but I've already said it. And I got my front feet down, and bless God, my back feet are going to follow where my front feet went." I wasn't any preacher. I was a thumb-sucking introvert, but I'd already put my front feet down, and I'm going to trace it. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, "Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." I got in the door of the airplane, and the sergeant suggested I exit. And I looked down. The other day I was in a room, in a motel room, watching the news, and they had some paratroopers jumping out of planes. And they put that camera right beside that fellow's going to jump next and showed what he looked at. And I said to my soul, "I never did that, did I? Surely I'm mistaken. I stood up there in that crazy plane, looked down and saw it, and jumped out on nothing, with nothing but some silk on my back." I stood in that door, and the sergeant said, "Ready, go!" And right behind me, a little fellow named Johnson, a little short fellow from Trinity, Texas, 18 years of age, and I was 18. He tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around, and he had big old tears in his eyes. And I said, "What is it, Johnson?" And he said, "Jack,
awkward, if you will.
Never had such an opportunity in my life. Best offer ever had in my life. Well, you say, why didn't you quit? Because my front feet had already made a track. And my back feet are going to step where my front feet were. Why? I decided one day I was going to be a paratrooper. And I decided I was going to jump out of airplanes. And I decided I was going to wear my wings. I was going to get through. And I was going to be a trooper. I was going to have my boots and my insignia and my hat with a parachute on it. And have my wings on my chest. And my front feet stepped out. And a set of back feet, you come on up here too. And you step right where the front feet were. And you step in those tracks. You follow through. Listen, anybody who succeeds in any effort is going to have to be a follow-thrower. And that's what the psalmist said when he said, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He followed through. Went off to college. Flat broke. $40. First day of renting an apartment, $37.50. Bought $2.50 worth of groceries. Went up to East Texas Baptist College in Marshall, Texas, just as homesick as you are, some of you, just as scared and apprehensive as you are, without one single dime, not a dime, not one penny to pay my bill with. But I had prayed about going to college. You listen to me. I had prayed about going to college. And on my knees at home, I had felt it was the will of God that I go to college. And so my front feet had gone. And I said to my back feet, now you come on up here and you fill the traces of my front feet. You follow through. Brother, no student ever enrolled in a college who wanted to go back home as much as I did. And I want to say this. The difference in those who do and those who don't is not we're made differently. And it's not the degree of temptation or the degree of homesickness. There are some of us, bless God, that not yellow bellied and coward spine. There are some of us, when we put our front feet down, we have the back feet to follow. I decided to come to Hammond 25 years ago last month. I decided to come to Hammond 25 years ago in July, and I came 25 years ago last month. I prayed I was considering this church for 7 months. And then finally, one day I was driving around, I drove and I drove and I drove and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, what shall I do, what shall I do? I don't know what God wants me. I prayed, and finally, I felt that God wanted us to come to Hammond. I went to my mother's house on Westchester Street in Garland, Texas. The time Mama was about 70 years old. And I said, Mama, I've made my decision. And she said, I know what it is. I said, what? She said, you're going to stay. I said, no, Mama, I'm going to go. And she said, son, that'll leave me here. And I said, Mama, I've got to go. And I fell down like a little child at my mama's knee and put my head in my mama's lap and uncontrollably wept. And immediately, I felt like I had made the wrong decision. Next week, I read my resignation. Wednesday night, resignation. Miller Road Baptist Church, Garland, Texas. People were stunned and shocked. For an hour, the church did nothing. We didn't sing. We didn't preach. We didn't do anything. The folks just cried. They lined up at the wall, put the head on the wall, and cried uncontrollably. I've never seen a service like it, never seen a funeral like it in my life, where the people could not believe that Brother Heil, whatever, pastor, anywhere but Miller Road Baptist Church. And in that service, I said, I think I made a mistake. I think I ought to stay. I think I made a mistake. But look, folks, I had spent a month praying about it. And I had found out in faith in God that I felt like God wanted me to go. And now with a broken heart saying goodbye to my people, I'm not going to undo in doubt what I did in faith. My front feet were down. And the back feet must come and trace the steps of the front feet.
I stood here one Sunday night right over here, and the wall was here in a building this big. And I got up here, and I went crazy. Absolutely, I said some things. I said to the people, someday we're going to run 10,000 in Sunday school. We were running at the time just a few thousand, maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Nobody in the history of the church Sunday schools ever run 10,000. This is the only church in the history of the Sunday school movement that's ever averaged 10,000 attendance. And I mean, at that time, the biggest Sunday school in the world was averaging 5,000. And I get up and I said, not only are we gonna do that, we're gonna start a grade school and a junior high school and a high school and a college. You know, before I got through with that sermon, I was talking to myself, and I said, self, do you know what you just said? You just stuck your stupid neck out. You know what it did? I made a track with my front feet. Brother, I don't care what had happened. I was going to start a college. If I couldn't start a Christian college, I'd start a heathen college. Barber college. Business college. I said it. I got my front feet down. Oh, listen to me. Sure, after you have prayed and decided a step to take or a decision to make, well, of course the devil's going to come and say, you shouldn't do that. And what you'll do is you'll listen to the devil, and he'll place doubts in your mind, and then you'll say, I think God is leading me back. God doesn't lead anybody back. God's a forward-leading God, not a backward-leading God. God knows no reverse gear. So when the psalmist said, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet, he was saying, he lets me, when I put my front feet down, I follow through and put my back feet right where my front feet were. I walked into the fellowship hall one night, our deacon's sitting there for deacon's meeting, and I said, fellas, God wants me to start a college. I said, I know he wants me to start a college. I was prayed all night long the other night out in California. And I said, God wants me to start a Christian college, and I know that. Now, our deacons normally discuss things forever. We talk them through and thresh them out. But a few times in the 25 years I've been here, I've walked in and said, God told me to do this. And in those cases, the deacons don't talk about it much. They can, but Mel Graves, one of our deacons for years, he said, Pastor, let me ask you one question. Are you sure that God wants you to start a college? And I said, yes, I don't know the wherewithal, where, how, who, but one thing I do know. God wants me to start a college. And Mel Graves said, I so move. Another deacon said, I second the motion, and without one bit of discussion, the deacons voted unanimously. Everybody voted for it, to build a Christian college. And I walked out of that room that night, and I went to the restroom, and I looked in the mirror, and I said, you crazy fool. Do you know what you just did? You just got up and told the deacons that God told you to start a college. And I'd heard Dr. Tom Malone tell about this, and so I copied him. Because he had done this, and so I copied him. I was driving home late that night. Somebody started talking to me in the car. I didn't know his name, but I tell you, he was dressed in a red suit. And he had horns. And he had a long, forked tail. And he smelled like smoke. And he said, did God really tell you? Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really told me. Been praying about it for a long time, and God really told me. Oh, where are you going to start it? Well,
Any suggestions? He said, you got the money?
The what?
The money. To take money? Where are you going to get a faculty? Faculty? Buildings. You promised the church you wouldn't use the church building for the college or the school. We're going to get a building. Between here and Munster, Indiana, on Columbia Street. Dr. Tom Maloney taught me this. I heard him say it. I stopped the car. And I opened the door. And walked around behind the car. And opened the door on the other side. And I said, now get out. Get out. He said, what? I said, get out. And he got out. And I said this to God. If I ever heard you speak to me, you spoke to me on a freeway in the wee hours of the morning in Pomona, California, and told me to start a college. Now, I've got 1,000 doubts in my mind right now. I've got 1,000 things. I don't know how to finance it. I don't know where it'll be. I don't know where I'll get my faculty. I don't know. But I know one thing. I don't think now I ought to start it. Did you hear me? I said, I don't think now I ought to start it. But I thought then I ought to start it. And I'd rather go on what I had at an all-night prayer meeting than what I got with a hitchhiker picked up on the way home tonight. I am not going to undo in faith or in doubt what I did in faith. I'm not. If God tells me to come to heaven and I doubt it until I get here, I'm coming to heaven. Why? Because I got my front feet out in faith and in prayer and in living in the book, and I'm not going to let my behind feet drag because doubt comes. The valley is filled with people who's without hinds feet. The bottom is crowded with people without hinds feet. Failure is overflowing with people without hinds feet. Remorse is abiding in the hearts of people without hinds feet. John Mark turned back on the first missionary journey because of a lack of hinds feet. Judas Iscariot is in hell tonight because he had a lack of hinds feet. And the Israelites never got in the promised land and had what God wanted them to have. Why? Because they sent their front feet in the promised land, left their back feet in the wilderness, and their back feet never came where the front feet were, and they miserably failed. And brother, if you have taken a step of faith, and you prayed before you did it, and you've taken a step of faith, then you just tell your back end to follow. Your brain's not in your back end. Your brain's up front. In most cases. Several observations. One is, him and now, this causes no need for two decisions. No need for two decisions. None. Because when you have made the one decision, when your feet, your front feet have made a track, then that's it. Just say back feet, you step right here. Now listen, some of you folks don't believe what I'm preaching tonight, and you won't practice it, but I'll guarantee you the day will come when you wish you had it. Statement number two, don't let your hind feet have a brain. Mary had a little lamb. The lamb was white as snow.
Everywhere that Mary went, the Lamb was sure to go. I love to quote poetry because it's the college church. Especially great poetry. Jackie Boy had a little brain. His brain was very slow. But everywhere that Jackie went, the back feet were sure to go. Hind's feet. Brother, a lot more people rise high in any field because they follow through than because they've got dynamics. And a lot more folks succeed and go to the top because they have the tenacity to have hind's feet than because they have a great personality. And brother, your personality will take you just to the bottom, that's all. But tenacity, tenacity, I'll do it. I made my decision, I'll do it. That kind of thing will take you up to here. Observation number 3, once you've started, don't think again. You don't have to think anymore. Once you have taken off, you decided to do something. And if you thought at the time it was the thing to do and that it was God's will to do it, don't you think anymore. Number 4, God does not need to lead you twice. God doesn't have to confirm his leadership. If God led you once, that's all he has to lead you. And you have to come talking back to God every day and saying, I'm in the right place. You don't have to have leadership to stay anywhere. Your leadership is to go. For the house of Oakville led to stay. You don't have to ask that, and nobody's ever led to stay. You're led to go, and you get where you're led to go, you don't have to be led again. God doesn't lead you twice. Number 5, always follow through with a commitment. Number 6, you said a while ago, your head is at the front. The brain is not on the back end. It's on the front end. And you let the front feet obey the brain, and you just say the back feet, you just come along for the ride. And then number 7, you don't have to say, did I do it right? Listen to this again. You don't have to say, did I do it right? You don't have to ask the question, do I think I did right? The question you ask is this. Did I think then I was doing right? And if you thought then you were doing right, you don't have to think now that what you decided to do then was right. Because if you thought then you were doing right, you thought it in faith, took your step in faith, put your front feet out in faith, now don't decide where your back feet going to go. Those with hind feet start tithing and keep on tithing. Those with hind feet don't float from church to church every time they get a little pee with the preacher. Those with hind feet finish what they start. Those with hind feet get their degrees as sure as they're enrolled in college. They get their degrees. Those with hind feet pay their debts. He used to say, and she'd rock me to sleep and sing, right in the corner where you are. Right in the corner where you are. Someone far from Harvard, you may guide across the bar if you're right in the corner where you are. And as she would sing and rock, she would interrupt her singing and say, son, finish what you start. Finish what you start. And I'm here tonight because Mama